We're going over to the book of Romans. We're starting out there. I don't have a whole lot of scripture this morning. I have some other scriptures in other places of the Bible. But we're going to title this morning, Romans 13. We're going to read 11 through 14. And we're going to title this morning, It's Time. It's High Time. It's High Time. It's Time. It's Time. And we can go in a lot of directions with this, but it's time. Let's read the scripture. Verse 11 of Romans 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envyings. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, we thank you for the written word today. We pray, God, Lord, as we share what you've laid upon our hearts today, God, Lord, that it'll go out, that the words will be anointed by you, that it'll be guided by you, that you'll say to us what you want to say to us today through these words. Father, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. It's high time. It's high time. It says that in verse 11. It's high time. We knowing the time. We know the times that we're living in. We're not living in good times. We're living in good times for a mighty revival to happen. But we're not living in good economic times. We're not living in good financial times. Amen. We're not living in good times as far as crime goes and the things that are happening. We know the time. The world is in a very sad condition. It's in a very sad situation. Even here in the little area that we live in, Northwest Pennsylvania, we can see what the drugs are doing to the communities and surrounding towns that we live in right here. It's a very sad situation. But that just didn't happen overnight. It's been something that's been slowly creeping up on us over the years, and all of the things that are going on in this world and in this land that we're living. Look at the mess that we are in politically. The political parties, they just slander each other all the time. And what are they doing for the good of the people? Not very much. Not very much going on. The times that we're living in, that verse says we're knowing the time. If you've been watching and listening to the news, that balloon that flew across our country and they finally took it down off the coast, I think of South Carolina, perhaps North Carolina, but in the Atlantic, they took that down. And then there was just something else this week that they took down off the coast of Alaska. And then I just read in the news yesterday or the day before that Canada now took something down that was floating in the sky. We know the times that we're living in. They're perilous times. And the Bible says these times that we know the times, it's high time to awake out of sleep. We need to wake up and get a grip on the reality of the situation and what is going on around us. I'm sorry to say it's not like it was back in the 60s. For us older ones that are here, the glorious 60s, it's not like it was in the 50s. Amen. It's not like it was in the 70s. We're living in very different times. It's time for us to awake out of sleep. Amen. Many of us have been lulled to sleep, and we just think that all these things are going to happen. There isn't much I can do about it. And so if we're to awake out of this sleep, instead of living as the world does, as that last verse that I read in verse 14, we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what all of us need to put on. We are ambassadors of Christ. When we go out through these doors into the world, when people look at us, yes, they're seeing you, but the question becomes, do they see Jesus Christ in you? Amen. He's the hope of glory. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to live in faith and not put ourselves in situations that stir up the desires and the lust of the flesh. We put ourselves many times into situations that it stirs up the desires and the lust of the flesh. And then we fall into diverse temptations. And then we begin to struggle with this idea, well, where's God? How come this is happening to me? Many times it's because we're putting ourselves into situations that's not becoming for a Christian. We are to be set apart from this world. We don't do everything that this world does. You might not, hopefully you figured it out by now, but we don't think like this world thinks. Amen. We have a different mind in us. We have the mind of Christ Jesus within us. Amen. A mind of righteousness, a mind of holy living. We have to pull ourselves away. Amen. We have to live in faith. It's time to wake up. And generally speaking, we as a people, and I'm including myself here, I'm including you in this, and if you're offended by it, then just so be it. But generally speaking, we have slumbered and slept way far too long. We've slumbered and slept. We know that we experience salvation. We go to Sunday school. We go to morning worship. We go to Sunday night. We go to Wednesday. We have our routine, our ritual, our devotionals we do at home, our times of prayer. We have maybe a few people that we'll talk to about Jesus. We've built many walls around ourselves. There are peoples and groups of peoples that we won't have no association with. We don't want to go near them. We don't want to rub elbows with them. We don't want to be in the same room that they're in. We've pulled ourselves away from them. That's fallen into a slumber and into a sleep, just into a lullaby, thinking that it's always going to be like it has been. It's not always going to be like it has been because it's ever changing. This world that we're living is not the same as it was when we turned over into the year of 2000. Amen. A lot of us here can remember all the fear that they had. The computer systems were going to shut down. The banking system was going to fail us, and all of this. We're living in a very different world now than we were in the year 2000, and we're only 23 years later. It's ever changing, but we just fall. But for us, everything remains the same. I just do my own thing, and I'm not reaching outside of the doors of my home to help anybody. And then in Matthew 25, we're not going to turn over there, but we have the story that Jesus told of the 10 virgins. And in verse 5 of that story that he was telling, we all like to think, I want to be one of the wise virgins, and I want to be one of the wise virgins. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want it to be trimmed and burning bright when Jesus returns, when the trumpet sounds. But something that they did in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Those that had oil in their lamps and those that didn't have oil in their lamps. And of us that have the oil in our lamp or think that we do, we think that we never slumber and sleep. But in this example, this story that Jesus told, well, the bridegroom tarried. Jesus is tarrying in his coming. Thank God that he's tarried as long as he has. Because I'm sure in the last 24 hours there have been people that have come into the kingdom of God. And if he would have come before that, the chance of that is probably quite slim to come into the kingdom of God. But while the bridegroom's tarrying, and that's what he's doing now, he's not coming. We're talking about his coming. I've been going to this church since it started. So it's been, 63 years this year? This coming July, it's going to be 63 years. And it's from far back as I can remember, when I can start to remember things. And I've shared it many times here. People were always in the 60s. They were always talking about the coming of the Lord. How many times do you hear people now talking about the coming of the Lord? Even in this church, not very often. We don't talk about the coming of the Lord anymore. Is it that we don't believe it? There's a good majority of Christians, so-called Christian believers, that don't believe in the coming of the Lord. They don't believe that Jesus is going to return like the scripture indicates. And how can that happen within their hearts and within their lives when they once were on fire for God? Because they have fallen into a spiritual slumber and sleep. They're just content with what they have. And we're supposed to be content. God wants us to be happy. It's very satisfying to serve the Lord. It's very soul-filling. filling. Amen. It's rich to serve the Lord, but we can't fall into a slumber and into a sleep. We need to stay spiritually awake. Amen. For the benefit of our own souls, but not just that, for the benefit of our spouse, for the benefit of our children, for the benefit of those around us, that we can then warn them of the judgment and of the wrath of God to come. But if we fall into a slumber and sleep, we're not too concerned about what's going on in this world, because we all know this, and how many times have we said it? This world's getting darker and bleaker every day, but I know when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to rise right off of this ground, and we'll get excited. We'll sing that song, "There Ain't No Grave Going to Hold My Body Down." But we've fallen into a spiritual slumber, into a spiritual sleep. Are you really aware of what is going on around you? Amen. In your own home, in the community that you live, in your places of employment. Amen. We are living in alarming times. Financially, it's alarming. Economically, it's alarming. Amen. The prices of buying food just to feed your family, to put gas in your vehicle, the craziness that's going on in the political world. Amen. It's an alarming time that we are living in, and we know this right now. In the world, people that don't even know God and serve God, they'll tell you this: we are barreling towards disaster. Something bad is going to happen. We can't keep going the way that we're going. What's our national debt right now? If I'm not mistaken, it's like $30 billion or something. It might be more than that. How can a country be so in debt? Man, if I'm in debt a few thousand dollars, that bothers me. I might not be able to sleep well at night. But our country is in billions of dollars of debt, trillions of dollars. I take that back. I think it's in the trillions that we're in debt, 30 trillion or something. We're headed towards disaster. We're barreling towards disaster, yet we're trying to convince ourselves everything's all right. It's okay. And if it gets really tough in the family, and if I can't help it, oh, the government has all these programs. They're going to give me money. They're going to give me vouchers. Take my ease in Zion. It's going to be okay. We are falling into a slumber and a sleep. Amen. Politically, our country has no sanity left at all. And there's almost no morals that exist in the country that we're living. Every man, we talk about it in the Bible and we get worked up about it. But in the Bible days, at certain times, every man was doing that which he thought was right in his own eyes. That's pretty much the message of the government of our country today. Let every man, if it's right in his eyes, who are you to say it's not? Who am I to say it's not? If they feel good about it, just let them alone. That's not a way to live. Amen. You have to have standards to live by. You have to have guidelines to live by. And that's why God has given us his word. But every man, he just does so. If every man does that which is right in his own eyes, then there's no values. It's just, I think this is okay, so that makes it okay. I think this is wrong, so that makes it wrong. We're headed for trouble. And what we are so frustrated as Christians, I'm frustrated about what's going on in our country, what's going on in this world. But you want to know, we're so frustrated about it. If we would talk about it, have a discussion, and be honest, we have no idea what to do. We see it barreling, right? It's going down. It's going down like a plane falling out of the sky. What are we going to do about it? We as believers, many times, we don't know what to do about it. But Romans, that we read this morning in chapter 13, verse 11, it tells us what to do. It's high time to wake out of sleep. We got to wake out of sleep. And then verse 12 says, the night is far spent. It's been dark for too long in this country. We've let darkness rule for too long in our society. Some people have let darkness rule for too long in their lives. But the night is far spent. The day, the light of God, it's at hand. Let God's light illuminate what needs to be done. And then it goes on, and let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That involves me doing something. I have to cast the works of darkness out of my own life. I can't cast them out of your life. I can pray that they be gone from your life, but you have to recognize that perhaps there's some works of darkness in your own life so that you can get rid of them. Because if you've been lulled to sleep, and it says they've been into a sleep, it's high time to awake out of sleep, and people are so sleepy spiritually that they have have allowed some works of darkness to be in their life and they don't even recognize it. Amen. We need to recognize ourselves. We need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The thought. Amen. It's time to wake up. It's time to get out of bed. We've been laying down spiritually for too long. It's time to rise up. In fact, it's not just time. This scripture tells us it's high time. It's high time. It's time for the church. Amen. Or it's time for us to experience and expect revival. Amen. Why doesn't revival come? God wants there forever to be a perpetual revival for it to be going all the time. Why doesn't it go? It's time for us to wake up and expect revival and to experience revival. Oh, people like revivals. You have get a great revival going. People will come out of the woodwork to experience that move of the Spirit that's going on. Amen. And so it's time for us. And where does revival start? It starts in your own life. Amen. In your own home, in your own heart. And you let your spirit be woken. You let your spirit be revived within you. And if all of us do that in our own personal lives, then when we get together collectively, what's there going to be? There's going to be a spirit of expectation. There's going to be a spirit of revival. But if we're just stuck down in the muck and mire of the things that we face in life, we're just hanging on to victory by a thread. And, you know, somebody asks you if you got the victory. Yeah, got it, but you know, if we're honest, we barely got it. That's not revival. Amen. For all that's going on in the world, amen, the dire situation that this world is in, financially, economically, the crime is on the uprise, amen, and politically it's messed up, and all of this that's going on in our country, you know what it's directly related to? It's our fault. It's a decline in the spirituality of this country. It's a decline in the lives and hearts of people that call themselves Christians. We're the ones that have not raised the standard. We're the ones that have lowered the standard. We're the ones that have lowered the expectation. And then the world is drifting even farther and deeper into the things that they're going into. Amen. And so it's directly related. All of these things that's going on that we don't like, it's directly related to the decline and influence of the power of Christianity. What kind of Christianity do you have? Is it just a Sunday go meeting kind of Christian? Or is there real power in your life where you're going out into this world? You're witnessing for Jesus. You're laying your hands on the sick and it says they shall recover. You're casting out devils. Amen. You're doing many mighty works. Amen. The works of God in your life. And if you're allowing that to happen, it lets the light be illuminated in this world. Amen. Most people, amen, that's not happening. And so because there's been a decline, amen, a decline of the power of Christianity, divorce is more common than it ever was. There was a thing on Facebook this week that come across my page, and I was looking at it, and people were making different comments. Why is divorce such a common thing today? And one of them put in there, and by their fruits you'll know them, and one of them put in there, a non-Christian person, they put the decline of religion, meaning the decline of Christianity. Divorce is just more prevalent. It's more accepted. It's all a direct result because people have lost what they once had in God. Amen. And you know what? This decline that we're seeing in this world, this decline that we're seeing in our society, this decline that we're seeing in our area with the overdoses of fentanyl and other things, and I'll add this, unintentional overdoses. There's such a thing as intentional, but there's fentanyl laced in these things, drugs that they've used for who knows how long. I'm not the judge, and I'm not here speaking in those terms, and they're just doing what they always did, but now there's a something little extra added in there, and it takes their life from them. It's a sad situation. And these things that we're seeing even in our area, the decline that we're seeing, it can only be changed by revival. We need a revival. We used to sing that song, Lord, send a revival. Let it start in me. Fill me up with the Holy Ghost. And oh, and it goes on and on. I'll get the words twisted if I try to sing it. If this is going to change, we prayed this morning about that situation. But there's other things right in our immediate area that's happening. And we can pray and we can pray till we have calluses on our knees, but we need a revival. Amen. This church needs a revival. This town needs a revival. People need a revival, but it's got to start in us. We have to awake out of sleep and realize, God, I need a revival in my own life. Are you excited about serving God? Or is it a case, well, I better go down to the church. If I don't, I'll be getting a call from the pastor or his wife, and it might not be a pleasant call. What brings you to church? What motivates you to come to church? I hope there's a fire down in your heart and in your soul, and you want to come together with the other believers just to worship and praise God. Romans says, in what we read, that in reality, we are morally obligated to be revived. If we want to see things change in this world, we need to be revived. We need to be revived. Amen. We need to wake out of our sleep. We need to come back to life and the power that's exhibited to us in the book of Acts. The book of Acts doesn't have any amen on the end of it. Miracle after miracle, the moving, mighty, working power of God was happening in the book of Acts, and that should have continued to happen down through the ages, and it still should be happening today. So if it's not happening in our lives, what are we doing wrong? We need to wake out of sleep and realize, you need to realize you can be a Paul and Silas. You can be a Paul and Barnabas. You can be a Peter. You can stand up. You can be the one that God can give you a vision and a dream. You could lay down to sleep and you could see a vision. I'm just using a hypothetical here. You could see a vision of somebody down in Sheffield, Pennsylvania, on their knees praying and saying, God, send us somebody here so that we can have Pentecost in Sheffield. God could show that to you. Why doesn't God do that? Because we're sleeping. We're happy with what we got. We're not going to reach out beyond our walls. We're just going to settle for what we have. Amen. The Word of God is a testimony. The Word of God testifies through and through to us. Revival waits on us. It waits on us. We're having revival meetings. We use that term loosely. We're going to have a revival. But is there really going to be a reviving of the soul? In fact, the name of this church is Cane Revival Center. Where's the revival? Where's the stirring of the moving of the heart and soul? And if we can't have revival in our lives all of the time like God wants us to have, perhaps we need to change the name of the church and not call it a revival center. Because if I go to a revival center, I would expect that revival is happening in that place. But what happens? Amen. People have fallen asleep. They're just content with the experience that they have, and they don't share it with others. Amen. Some people tend to think we are waiting helplessly for God to take notice of our situation. I'm just helplessly waiting. I'm just at the mercy of God. And if God decides to help me, he's going to help me. Here I am just waiting for God to help me. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. I'm hopelessly waiting for God to notice my situation, to notice our situation. God's going to take notice what's going on in Cain. It's a hopeless, helpless situation. God's going to notice our helpless situation. And he's going to give us the revival that we need. It's not going to happen that way. God knows there needs to be revival in Cain. God sees what's happening in the area that we're living. He knows that there needs to be revival here. So it's quite the opposite. God is waiting for us to seek him. God is waiting for us to draw closer to him. God is waiting for us to really hunger and thirst after him. We can exhibit to others that we're hungering and thirsting after God, but are you really seeking after God? God knows the heart of every one of us that are here today. He knows the ones that really want more of him, and he knows the ones that'll just sing the song. Oh, it's so sweet to sing, more of you, I've had it all, but what I need, God, is more of you. And we get stirred in our emotions a little bit, and we think that we have woken ourselves up spiritually, but we go right back into that slumber again. God knows he's waiting for us. Amen. God's willing to help us. God's willing to let there be a revival. And he promised that he was going to do this as soon as we are willing to wake up and realize, like that song says, it's not my brother nor my sister that's standing. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O God, that's standing in the need of prayer. And if we would take that seriously before God, some of us, myself maybe included, are so sanctimonious that we wouldn't admit to this. We're not seeing revival like we want to. We're not seeing the move of God like we want to. And Lord, it's because of me. How many of us would say that? No, we're too righteous. We wouldn't say it's because of me, but we need to maybe make that prayer to God. God, is it me that's standing in the way of there being a revival in this town? Is it me that's standing in the way of there being a revival in this church? And if you're in a spiritual slumber and sleep, yes, you're standing in the way. Amen, because God wants to move. Amen, God wants to move. But we have to be willing to wake up. We need to pray and say, well, that's not me. You know, if I have you come down this morning, and I'm going to have everybody pray, God, wake me up spiritually. Some people would probably take that as an insult. Are you saying we're sleeping spiritually, Pastor? Who do you think you are? But we need to be willing. God, wake me up spiritually. God, I want to wake up. But it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that needs help. We look at the world, and we see the decline that's in there, and we feel bad about it, and rightfully so. Amen. And we think, oh, they really need God. But it's not them. It's me, God, that needs your prayer. James chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. Amen. If we want to change the way we're living, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. It's high time. It's past time for us. We need to begin to seek the Lord in earnest for the revival that we so desperately need. Well, let the other churches do it. They have their place in the community, but we have our place in the community, and we need, amen, it's high time, it's past time for us to begin to seek the Lord in earnest for the revival that we need. We see the deaths happening. We see the doom and the gloom. We see the cloud over the area, and how's that going to happen? We need to seek the Lord for the revival that we need. God, I need a revival. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. It's not my brother or my sister. God, it's me that's in need. I need to see this. And so how should we respond to all the breakdown that we see around us in this world? Here's how we should respond. And we're doing it. We did that this morning in prayer. We should call on God. Yeah. Say, God, look, I know you can see it, but have mercy on us. This is a dire situation that we're in. Such a small community, and one of the smaller communities just a few miles away from Cain. In 1 week, two people were gone, a 21-year-old and a 36-year-old, taken out by fentanyl. We're not in a large city area. There's not thousands of people that live here, hundreds of thousands. And if it's like that in this rural area, just think what it's like in the large areas, amen, in the suburban areas. Areas where millions of people live. Amen. There's millions. There's thousands of people that are dying daily. Amen. Just on that one subject that I am referring to. And so we need help. How do we respond? We have to call on God. Amen. And so it's high time that we once again have victorious Christian living. Are you having victorious Christian living, or are you struggling in your service to God? You're trying so hard to serve God, and it's just some hang-ups and things you can't get. Then we tend to blame this one and that one. It's because of my past. It's because of this, and you're just struggling. You got to get over that. If there's going to be a revival, you need to be the one to go out there with the message. Amen. It's time that we have victorious Christian living. It's time that we have effective evangelism. That means when I go out there and I'm led by the Spirit of God and I witness to somebody, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to come to this church, but you're going to come back with testimonies. I was able to leave a good word with somebody. I was able to lead somebody to the Lord. I was able to lay my hands on somebody that was sick and they recovered. That kind of thing is going to start happening. That's effective evangelism, because they don't see what's going on inside of these doors. Only you that are here see that. And so we have to take it out to this world. Amen. And it's high time that that's happened. And to continue with this, amen. It's high time. And here's the secret to revival. Absolute surrender. Each one individually, myself included. I have areas in my life where I have my struggles. It's easy to say, God, oh, we sing that song and we get moved by it, but we don't get changed. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Oh, that sounds so nice. You get a chill down your spine when you sing it. But are you really surrendering all? It's high time to absolutely surrender to him. And so if you read the challenge that we did, that's in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, if you go back, amen, if you go back to chapter 12 and you look at that, amen, the first 11 chapters of Romans deal, and it's wonderful, we like this, they deal with God's mercies to those that have been saved from their sins. Oh, it talks about the mercy of God. Oh, it'll make you feel all bubbly and good inside. And then all of a sudden, Paul in his writing, when he comes to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it's like a slap in the face. We're enjoying this salvation. Oh, the mercies of God. Oh, the grace of God. God is so good. Oh, he's so good to me. And then Paul, right in the middle of that, calls for complete surrender. And what does he say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, after he talked about the mercies of God, this is so such a great salvation that we have, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're talking about total surrender, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just a reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. And then verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. It's high time to dedicate your life to God. Amen. Dedicate your life without reservation. Dedicate it to the service of God. Lord, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. I'm dedicated to your service. Whatever you ask of me, God, I'm more than willing to do it. Just shoot me the order, God. I'll do it in the spirit that's within you. Jesus said before he left, that spirit of truth is going to dwell in you, and he's going to lead and he's going to guide you into all truth. Amen. Total surrender is what God wants from us. Amen. It's high time to wake and to realize if things aren't going so good in your life, maybe you haven't completely surrendered. You partially surrendered. You recognized your need of a Savior. You called on him. He saved you, but he wants you to totally commit yourself to him. What reason could there possibly be for refusing to submit to the one that died for you? What reason could there possibly be that you will not submit to the one who died for you? Well, you know, it's this one, it's that one. This one hurt me. This one said that. This one did this. And it's just, they hurt me so bad, and I'm having such a hard time with it. Is that a justified reason not to serve the one who died for you? That's not going to stand before God. Yes, people have had things that have happened in the past that are deep cuts. They're deep wounds. Amen. But that's not a reason, amen, that we don't dedicate our life to God without reservation, realizing the ones that did those things, well-meaning Christians at times, even well-meaning leadership at times, perhaps has said things or done things that cut us to the heart, and therefore I have a struggle serving God. That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. You need to wake up and realize, I personally need to dedicate myself without reservation to his service. Amen. How we excuse ourselves to live as we please. How can we excuse ourselves to live as we please when Christ purchased you with his precious blood? How can you just walk away from it? I'm not going to live. I'm refusing. I'm going to read that again. I'm excusing myself, amen, to live as I please. How can we do that when Christ purchased us with his precious blood? Purchased us with his precious blood. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I'll tell you what. It's not for me. This is how I'm going to do it. How can we do that? It's time to dedicate our lives to God and live for him and him only. Not just time. As that scripture I read in Romans 13, it's high time. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. It's high time just to lay every petty little thing behind and say, God is for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what anybody does or says. There's nobody that can stop me from serving you. There's nobody that can hurt me and say words to me that's going to discourage me, because this is between me and you. I'm going to make heaven my home. I'm going to let there be revival in my life. I'm going to let there be revival in my town. I'm going to let there be revival in my community, and that's how it can happen. Amen. Amen. And it's high time. And prior to Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, if you look at the verses right back before that, he was talking about we are told to live in love as taught by God. That's the trouble. A lot of Christians are not living in love that's taught by God. What kind of God are you serving? Are you serving a God of love? Or are you serving a God of judgment and wrath? If you're serving a God of judgment and wrath, you are going to be very harsh with people. Because that's how you view God. He's a God of judgment and wrath. He's going to nail me for every wrong thing I do. But if you view God as a God of love, then you're going to exhibit that love to others. And that's how God, that's what God really is. And he wants us to, it's high time that we show people the love of Jesus. We show them the love of Jesus. We don't send them to hell for the things that they're doing. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus spoke a lot about love at the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, these verses, you could write them down and look at them. It's Matthew 5, 9, Matthew 5, 24, Matthew 5, 42, and Matthew 5, 44. Many Christians want to think that they fight for the truth, but they haven't learned to live in love. They're fighting for the truth. They're fighting for the truth. They don't love people that think different than they do. They're ready to put their dukes up and ready to take it out with them. We still have to love them. Jesus loved everybody. There's a lot of people that came to Jesus that didn't even want to believe the way that he was teaching, but he didn't condemn them. Jesus always spoke kind words to them. He show them a better way to live. And that's what we need to do. That's the love of God. So loving others. We need to learn to love others. Because if you think about it, what's the fruits of the Spirit? What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. You got to love the unlovable. You got to love the ones that get testy with you. You got to love the ones that take your name in vain. You got to love the ones that talk bad about you because you don't believe, according to Scripture, you don't believe in the alternate lifestyle. You don't believe in abortion. You don't believe in some of these things that are so prevalent today. And they just hate you for it. They can't stand you, but you still love them. You still love them. That has to be. We need to contend for the faith. That's true, but you need to show a little bit of love with it too. It's high time to live in love and yield to the Spirit. And the last point that I have is in Galatians 2:20. It's high time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's high time. Put off Romans 13:12. I read that. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Why? Because the night is far spent and the day is at hand. And in verse 14 that we read tells us what to do. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Living the Christian life is self-denial, and it's faith in Christ. Walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's what it's all about. It's high time to live this way. The world needs to see Jesus in you. When the world looks at you, what do they see? God hasn't decided to delay revival. Well, Cain's not quite ready for it. I'm going to hold off just a little bit longer. That's not God's decision. God wants to send revival. He wants it to be. But what is it? It's high time for us to surrender and to live for him and let him live through us. Amen. We need to get serious about serving God. Are you serious about serving God? Or is it just, if it's convenient, I'll do it. When it's not, I won't. And I know he's coming. Are you slumbering and sleeping? You know what we need to do? Amen. Sister Oaks can come up to the piano here. Let's everybody stand. I want to sing this song, and I think it goes along well with this. And I don't know all the words to it. I might want, she starts, "You walked on me long enough, devil. Now I'm going to walk on you." Amen. That song, "You walked on me, devil, now I'm going to walk on you." Let's sing that this morning, but first let's pray and get this down in your heart. I'm tired of being walked on. I'm tired of being trampled under. I'm tired of the enemy taking things that are rightfully mine. I'm tired of the enemy destroying my family before my very eyes. I'm tired of people rising up against me and thinking I'm the, you know, that I'm the devil. I'm tired of that. Devil, you walked on me long enough, now I'm going to walk on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us here this morning. God, that we get revived. It's high time, God. It's time for us to wake up. There's never going to be revival if we just keep going with the status quo. Just keep going the way we are. It'll always be the way it is. But God, there has to be a change that happens within us. God, help us this day in the name of Jesus. As we sing this, amen, reach out to the Lord and give a total surrender to him. Because if you're having a hard time, it's because the devil's walking on you. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen.